Well, it's good to be here today. I just want to, again, welcome all you visitors. And thank you for coming. And let's hear what God has for us today. I was already blessed by what Dallas shared this morning. And there was a verse there in Psalms 95 that I thought would go quite well with what I want to share. And I wasn't exactly prepared the way I'd like to be for a message, but I believe God will show me what I need to share there. And that verse there in Psalms 95 that Dallas read, I'm just going to read it again. It said, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." Then it goes on, says, "Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." So I pray that if God is speaking to you today, harden not your heart. So we all are going to have to stand before God one day, and It can be a joy for us, or it can be something that we do not want to face. I think if we are prepared and if we have a relationship with the Lord, I think it will not bother us to know that we're going to have to stand before God. I want to share about a shepherd, a good shepherd. And also I want to share a little bit about a shepherd that was not so good. But I'm going to start with a verse, with a couple of verses there in Numbers 27, verse 15 through 23, just to get to know or to know what God's heart is for his people there. To know what his heart is, that his people have someone to point them to a shepherd, or have someone to point them to the right path. Numbers 27, verses 15 through 23. I'm just going to read that to you and explain a little bit. This was where I think Moses was getting kind of to the end of his life there. And goes like this. "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." So that was desire that God had there. He didn't want the people to be like a sheep that didn't have no shepherd. Verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. Before the Lord, at his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hand upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." So why do I share that? Just because it is God's desire that his people will have someone that can point them to the truth, that can be a leader or an elder, or you might say a shepherd, or maybe we say an under shepherd, or however you want to call that. But the fact is that Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd. And God wants somebody set over the people, or ordained, or however you want to say that, to be a leader or someone to point them to Jesus Christ, to make sure that they will know Jesus and get to know the good shepherd. And someday that shepherd, when the clouds will split open, there will be a shepherd coming to judge his people, to face everyone on this earth. And I'm going to go to Acts now and just read a couple verses there again that will show us a few things of our great shepherd, that he will someday appear to us again. Acts 1, 7 through 11. And this is where I think it's Acts there, where the believers are gathering together there, and it was just before Jesus ascended there into heaven. Let's just read there from verse 7 through 11. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times nor the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth." He was just giving them some direction there yet before he leaves. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So there we see that our great shepherd, he went there and went to heaven, and someday, we don't know when, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but someday he will return in kind of the same way as he left. And I always just get the picture that he will come. When he comes, the skies, it might say something like this in the Bible too, that the sky will just split open, and here is our Jesus, here is our great shepherd coming back. And we're going to read some more about that in Matthew 25. Let's go to Matthew 25. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say here. Sometimes words don't come out what I want to say, and so just bear with me. And Matthew 25, verse 31, and I'm going to read 31 and 32, and then later I will go on through the chapter there. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." The throne of his glory refers to a place where Jesus will reign as King and Lord. Like I said, someday he will come back, and he will sit on a throne of glory, and he will reign as King and Lord. This chapter, these verses here, symbolizes his authority and judgment over all nations. When Jesus returns in his glory, he will sit on the throne to separate people as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. It signifies his return in his state of divine majesty and power. He will have great power at both king and judge to separate the righteous from the wicked. This event will involve the gathering of all nations before him and his judgment of humanity, determining their eternal destiny. So when he comes for that judgment there, that will be when he will determine where your destiny will be, where you will end up at, either be heaven or hell. And I hope that you are prepared today, because we don't know when that will be, when our Jesus will return, our great shepherd, the chief shepherd that God put over us, that chief shepherd that we will have to give an account to. And, well, let's just go on and read here. And 33 to the end. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Sounds pretty good so far, don't it? It says, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, and naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, and in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, I don't think, even if we are doing those things now, I don't think it's something that we will, we might recognize it, but I don't think it's something that, what we need to be doing is just glorifying God to what we can do to help those in need, to help a stranger, to help the sick and the ones in prison. It's not something that we will get a mark, another mark on our name, and say now we're doing better. And this, I had to think of a man that I used to work with years ago, and he knew that I was a Christian, but he was not. And I believe he knew that. Well, I know he knew it. But he came to work one morning and was telling me this story about, you know, how he done his good deed already for the day. And I told him, that's, you know, what does he mean? He done his good deed already. I said, well, he helped somebody along the way on his way to work, and he thought he did his good deed already for the day. And I said, well, God don't look at it that way. You know, we need to be doing. We need to be working for the Lord all the time, not just when we do something like that, then mark it down and say, now we did our good deed for the day. But anyhow, I think there's people out there that look at it that way. But that's not the way it is with God. It is, this guy that I'm talking about, he was in all kinds of different sins and things, so he thought that the good deed he did might, you know, kind of balance him, put him kind of in the right balance. But that's not the way it works. So going on there in verse 41, I think. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and a thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Then, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting, into life eternal. So there's only two destinations that we can go to, and they're mentioned right here. It's everlasting punishment or into eternal life. And I think we would all say that we want to go into eternal life. Who would want to be in everlasting punishment, have an everlasting punishment? That wouldn't feel good, would it? So it's important to be ready, to be prepared for when our chief shepherd shall appear. So you don't have to answer this, but I'm just going to ask a question. So are you a goat or a sheep? Do you follow the call of Jesus? Or does it not matter to you if Jesus is calling you? In John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So his sheep will know his voice. And Jesus, our great shepherd, knows us. He knows us, and we will follow him. That's what he said there. I know them, and they follow me. Okay, I'm going to take you to a chapter in the Bible that talks about two different shepherds. And there was a big difference in those two shepherds. Some of you probably know where that is. I'll say it here in a little bit. The one shepherd is worried about himself. He rules with force and cruelty. He scatters and leaves the sheep by themselves. He keeps the best for himself. All he's worried about is himself. He wants to take care of himself, and he lets the sheep go, and they're scattered all over. The other shepherd that we just talked about some, he feeds his flock. He tends for the weak and the sick. He searches for the lost, rules with love. He gathers and protects the sheep. He gives his best to the sheep. That's the good shepherd. That's the chief shepherd. So let's go to Ezekiel 34. Let's read from 1 through 10, and then we'll stop a little bit. And here, the first part here, it talks about this shepherd that it's all about himself. It's not, he don't care about the other sheep. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy again, the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? They were feeding themselves instead of feeding the flock. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. That means they didn't take care of the ones that were diseased. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, My sheep wander through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and that they may not be meat there, that they may not be meat for them. Do you see the kind of shepherd we have there? He was looking out for himself. He let the flock all scattered out. He ate the ones that were nice and fat. He ate those, and he closed himself with their wool. He used what he could from them, and he took care of himself. He did. The diseased have ye not taken care of, he said the Lord. Neither have ye healed the sick. He didn't care about the sick. He didn't care about the ones that were... neither have ye bound up that which was broken, he said. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Like, say, what a wreck, what a wreck. What, if things, the saying that they say about something, if it don't go well, is what a wreck. What a wrecked shepherd there. He didn't care about the flock. When they were driven away, when the beast came and got some and drove others away, he didn't care about that. He said he ruled with cruelty, with force and cruelty. But that's not the way our chief shepherd is. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I am glad for a shepherd like that, aren't you? It's wonderful to know that we have a shepherd that cares for us, and that we can trust him. We can put our trust in him. Now let's hear the next story, the story of a good shepherd. Going on there in verse 11, I think I'm going to read it all the way through. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloud and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountain of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the hill, upon the high mountains of Israel, shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel? I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. See, he takes care of them. Our good shepherd takes care of his sheep. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the goat and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must fall the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have folded with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make them with a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hands of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plan of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. So he took them out of a bad situation there. Our good shepherd, the Lord, took him out of a real bad situation and has given us hope again. And I'm just thankful for that good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it talked in here about David, his servant David there. And I think David knows very, very well how a shepherd should be, because he was a shepherd. And I think David was a good shepherd. The good shepherd will feed his flock, tend for the weak, the sick, for the lost, rule with love, gather and protect the sheep, give his best for the sheep. And I'm going to read Psalms 23 for you there. Psalms 23. I think we're all familiar with that chapter. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was David writing that psalm, and I think he understood it very well, how a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And He will take care of him. If there's a sick one, he will heal the sick. God is seen as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. We must follow God and obey His commands. He is our only hope for eternal life and security. Our great shepherd is our only hope for eternal life. And if we follow Him and allow Him to guide us, follow Him, then when He will return, when He returns, then there should be no fear. We should be glad to see Him coming. David wrote out of his own experience this Psalms 23 there. He spent his early years caring for sheep. Sheep are dependent on the shepherd for provision, guidance, and protection. The New Testament calls Jesus the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 11, says the Great Shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 4, is the Chief Shepherd. It's called the Chief Shepherd there. As the Lord is the Good Shepherd, so we are His sheep. Not dumb or frightened, not passive animals, but obedient followers, wise enough to follow one who will lead us in the right places and in the right ways. When we allow God, our shepherd, to guide us, we find contentment. We have contentment if we allow Jesus to guide us, our great shepherd. Then there is contentment in that. Contentment does not come from achievements. It comes from relationship with the Lord. There is satisfaction and contentment in direction. So if we allow God to, or Jesus, allow Him to speak in our life and follow His teachings, allow Him to give us direction, then there is contentment in that, in doing what is God's will. Contentment isn't a matter with being content with your situation in life and never trying to improve it. It is a matter of being content with what you have, but realizing that as humans, we will always try to improve. No matter how happy we are, if we don't, we have given up on life. If we don't try to improve in our life, it should be that willingness to always try to improve in our life. It's not contentment to just be sitting still and not doing nothing, but always trying to improve in our life towards God. There should be a willingness for that. We can always, I can always find an area in my life where I can try to improve in that area towards God. He who is not content with what he hath would not be content with what he would like to have. If we can't be content with what we have, with what God gives us, and if we always want to grab for more or want some more, then we will not be content with that either. Our shepherd knows the green pasture and still waters that will restore us. We will reach these places only by following Him obediently. When we choose to sin, we go our own ways and cannot blame God for the environment we created for ourselves. It's our own fault if we take our own way and don't take the way that Jesus wants us to go. We're following, if we follow after our own lusts and our own desires, then that is our own fault. It's not God's fault. God gives us an opportunity to do what is right, to follow Him. And I believe we all would have a desire to do what is right and to follow after righteousness. That way, when our Jesus, when our chief shepherd will appear, that we can go and meet Him face to face without being afraid. I'm not saying that there won't be a trembling for us to meet Him, but we shouldn't be afraid to meet Jesus face to face. I don't think should be afraid. Jesus sits on the throne of glory, separating the sheep from the goats. Which one are you? You have an opportunity today. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me." So you have that opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, to, when you hear His voice, to know which direction to go. You know, He is there. He is right there. Jesus is right there trying to help you. If you have a need there, He will not leave you nor forsake you. If He wants you, and He wants to take care of you. Let's go to John chapter 10. Going to read there from verse 1 through 16. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." So I think this here is talking about, I don't know how it is nowadays over there, but where this was at, I think there were a lot of sheep, and in the evenings, or maybe even when there's stormy weather or whatever, they always took the sheep in a shelter of something, maybe in a cave or in a little shelter or somewhere to keep him penned up and to keep him safe from, especially during the night, to keep him safe from all the animals and whatnot. And the shepherd would there, I think, sleep with him there somewhere right close to him and take care of him in there. And this is what he's talking about. And then when the morning came again, he would take him out of that fold and take him out there, and then he would go before them, and they would follow him. They would follow the shepherd back to a place where they would graze or whatever. They would totally depend on a shepherd. The sheep would, or depend on him. Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were with he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thieves came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep or not, see the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and catches the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. So here he's talking about, you know, these sheep. A stranger or a hireling, these sheep will not hear them. They will not follow him. They only come to destroy, to catch and to steal and destroy. But he's saying, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And know my sheep. He knows his sheep and is known from his sheep. And he says he had other sheep too that he have to bring into the fold. So there are sheep. There are still sheep scattered out there that we have a job to do to bring them to Jesus. And that's the good shepherd's desire is that those sheep out there that are lost, those sheep that are lost out there, that's our job to bring them to Jesus as a church, as a ministers, as doing what God wants us to do. Well, we should know by now that Jesus is the good shepherd, and that Jesus went up to heaven, and someday he will come back. The Bible says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manners as ye have seen him go into heaven. His return from heaven will be personal, visible, and glorious, a blessed hope for which we should constantly watch and pray. The Bible emphasizes the importance of being ready and vigilant, as Jesus may return at an unexpected hour. This means focusing on living a life pleasing to God, rather than focusing on which day or which week he might come. It's not that important to know which day he is coming back. Just be ready when he comes. It's not important for us to know which day or which hour or which month he's coming back, but the important thing is to be ready when he comes. I can't stress that hard enough. Be ready when he comes. If your heart is not right with the Lord, find someone to talk to. Find someone that can understand you. Surely there's someone here that wants to help you. You don't want to be left behind. I heard a message one time, and the name of the message was Left Behind, and it talked about Jesus' return and being left behind. His return when he leaves, being left behind. I don't think there's anyone in here that would want to be left behind when Jesus comes and takes his own with him. So, again, I just want to say, be ready when he comes. And I would like to, if we could sing a song. A song yet at the closing here. And that song is 154 in your books. So, I don't know, Nathaniel, if you want to lead us in that song, 154, could sing that song as a prayer, or sing it and think about the words there. And then after this song, I'll turn the time back over to John.
Tenderest care in thy presence. bless and pastors feed us. For our use, thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast called us thine we own. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast called.